Good morning and welcome back, folks. Here we are, the final hour, fourth and final hour, the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. I'm glad you're here. It's Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Tuesday, March 27, 2007, 2 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone, right on the nose. And our guest has been with us the entire program thus far. I applaud him, and I certainly am very grateful to him for this incredible amount of information he's delivering to us tonight. Check out the website for more information, AmericanAntiGravity.com. Tim Ventura, welcome back, sir.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
We have a caller on hold, too, right?
We sure do. Rich in Florida, welcome back, sir. I apologize for the interruption.
Oh, that's just fine. Thank you very much for having me also.
Oh, yeah, pleasure.
Question that I had is about the UFO and dimensional travel, I believe he brought up, or something earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if there was time travel involved with that, and I was thinking of, in reference to the bell, that it seemed to have disappeared in 1945, and then there was this acorn-shaped object like the bell that appeared in 1965. That crashed at Kecksburg.
Mm.
And, there's a 20 years there, and it just disappeared in 1945. I was wondering what Mr. Ventura thought the bell might have been.
Ah, excellent question. Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, well, hi, Rich. Actually, interesting you should mention Kecksburg, because Joseph Farrell, he went in depth on that, and he mentioned it briefly in our interview, but it's something that he's written about, I think, extensively in his book. I'm not sure why. I'm not actually very familiar with Kecksburg. I've seen a couple of TV documentaries where they go over it briefly, but I guess in a more holistic note, it is that period of time is really interesting for me, because with the Nazi bell story, you almost get not just that, but that and the Philadelphia experiment. You have this giant eraser of history, you know, where there's just not a lot from that period. You know, unified field theory research just kind of goes away. Tesla stuff, I mean, the mm-hmm. Tesla's well-documented research from that period, it becomes part of our infrastructure. He laid the foundation for a lot of today's technologies, but mm-hmm. but his more esoteric projects just kind of faded away in that period. And you had the birth of UFOs in 47, mm-hmm. and that in itself is also interesting. I mean, if they are from another planet, I don't know. I guess it's odd for them to show up then. It's been speculated that, you know, perhaps they heard the bomb, in a manner of speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that maybe it signaled them somehow or something. But other than that, it is a really weird period of history where there's not a lot of public knowledge, I guess.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. But I'll tell you one thing, just to expand on what Rich had said. I've done several shows in the past, and I've been doing radio for a while now, so they haven't been recent, I suppose. But I've noticed one thing, Tim. Whenever I've explored anything involving time travel or dimensional shifting, anything like that, it draws a response, and not necessarily a positive one. And I don't mean from the listeners either, if you know what I'm talking about.
Well, I think there's some evidence, even in mainstream mm-hmm. science, to support notions of time travel. Mm-hmm. One of those was it's been postulated that time travel might require extra dimensions, right? Like the old science fiction, mm-hmm. you know, the world where the Nazis won, and then another where the car was never invented, stuff like that.
Right.
And in quantum computing, they have IBM has a 5-bit quantum computer now. They believe that works because of these multiple dimensions.
Wow.
So time travel may be possible.
Let me hold you both over, and we'll continue this. Folks, another quick break. I apologize. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. Stay with us. Back in 3 minutes.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Good morning. Welcome back, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, but you knew that already. We got, about 50 minutes left in the program here. 50 minutes, and we'll count every second with our good friend Tim Ventura from AmericanAntiGravity.com. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks, Frank. Hey, I'd like to ask you a question. You said it always hasn't been good, or it sometimes isn't good feedback about time travel.
Yeah.
Well, what did you mean by that, though?
Some of the guests I've had on and some of the things like that, they tend to, let's just say that it's not just the interested listeners listening to this program, okay?
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean.
Yeah,
the whole
death threat
thing. I've mentioned all that to you before. It's nothing new. It's nothing really that bothers me because we're just talking about the truth here. And to me, the truth is liberating. It's not constrictive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been pretty lucky in that regard, I guess, because I try and stay closer to technical issues.
That's the best way to do it. And that's why, you know, when I find people, I find people like yourself who know what they're talking about, but we'll have to have an interesting discussion sometime, maybe you, me, and Joseph Farrell about some of these things because things do get a little interesting when you start talking about that. Rich, are you still there with us?
Yes, sir. I certainly
okay.
am.
Did you have any follow-up questions?
Maybe slightly different.
Okay.
Question,
yeah, go ahead.
But the use of electromagnetics on some types of these UFOs, I'm wondering if that can be tweaked in such a manner as to shift into another dimension.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, one of the things, honestly, for me, it's been kind of a challenge is even how are, you know, like the concept of dimensions is becoming really fragmented. Mm-hmm. Like with quantum computers, the early quote was basically that, you know, they have basically, it's like what we call it, pearls on a necklace, or, you know, little things on a string, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can spin one way or the other, and by counting the direction that the atoms spin in this molecule, they can tell if they've computed yes or no, right, for this value.
Hmm.
And that was the IBM experiment. It took a lot of work to measure, but they got it up to five of these things in a row, which gives them five, they call them qubits. And until they're measured, they don't actually have a spin. They're going, it's a virtual spin.
Hmm.
And then once they ask the question in the right way, which is, you know, very complex math, they basically settle into the right pattern. And the part that started to bother people was with these things, the scientists noticed right away that unlike a regular computer, which will actually compute, the quantum computer is kind of cheating at math, but it always gets the right answer.
Hmm.
And one of the early quotes from one of the researchers was, basically, it asks God for the answer, and remarkably, he tells it what it is. You know, but I mean, it was throwing out this question into the void and somehow getting the right answer back every single time.
Wow.
And, you know, for a computer to do that was kind of strange. So the answer they had that was a little bit more concrete and scientific was, well, it does one computation, but, and for five bits, it should be more than one computation to find the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's doing one computation across an infinite number of dimensions. And that's why it's finding the right answer.
Wow.
So if that's the case, then there are these multiple dimensions, and it's possible that by using electromagnetism, we could access them. I mean, after all, a quantum computer is just using electromagnetism. It's just quantum spin. So,
yeah,
you know, it's possible. I don't know. I mean, the problem is the way that we define dimensions right now. Like, electromagnetism would be a different dimension, but not a parallel dimension. So, you know, it's a pretty blurry line,
wow.
You know.
That's astounding.
I'm sorry. I hope that helps.
Yes, it does give more food for thought. I have one final little question that's
sure.
Kind of off the wall, but I saw this little video from some website that had a laptop computer dangling from a robotic arm. They dropped it, and it crashes to the floor. They redo it, they drop it, and just before it hits the floor, there are these four little things that pop out of the laptop and slow it down to a gentle stop, and then the four little things retract into the laptop.
Wait, hold on a second. I have to ask you this, Rich, because I saw a commercial for something, and they were talking about something like that, but I don't think it was. It sounds different. The one I saw, basically, a laptop is falling, and then this giant roll cage sort of spews out of the computer and cradles it, and then the roll cage right back into the computer. I don't know if that's the same thing you saw. But
no, this was different. This was
wow.
Four thumb-sized little protrusions that suddenly pop out of the laptop, and as if those are some type of anti-gravity little
wow.
things, and then it settles down really quietly, and then they retract into the laptop, and
wow.
I didn't know it looks so real, but of course
I know
many,
these days
video yeah, things
that's right these days you just can't tell. That's amazing. Tim,
yeah, oh sorry,
no,
it doesn't ring any bells, but you know, I mean, it makes sense that there's so much confusion though, because I think that science is very confused right now. We're coming out of this era of, well, you know, science goes through periods where you know, everything is right and there's nothing left to explore in the universe, and then, you know, one day everything falls over and they have to start from scratch. And, you know, we're seeing that with string and brain theory right now, that on the theoretical level, these very same physicists who said, you know, nothing can go faster than the speed of light, space-time, you know, is very well understood, and, you know, there's nothing more we'll ever learn. You know, it's like in the 1800s when they wanted to close the patent office down because they'd invented everything that could possibly be invented. So why issue more patents?
That's such a great quote.
I think that anti-gravity and a number of other technologies are coming out of that. But the interesting part for me was, as somebody who's kind of traditionally focused more on the gravity side of things, it seems like solving that problem, the problem of modifying gravity, is also going to give us warp drives and maybe teleportation and all sorts of stuff that we didn't really go looking for in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. But they do seem to be interconnected. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rich.
Most definitely. I mean, there was a time back there when they said, oh, it's preposterous to think that you can speak and your voice can be heard at the other end of a copper wire. Things do change.
Well, and, you know, the complaint for many years was, you know, string theory has been around for a while, but it never made any predictions. They said it's a lame duck theory. You know, brain theory is very close. It's kind of a different variation on it. But they said string and brain theories don't make predictions, and therefore they don't matter. They're inconsequential. It's lame duck. But at the STAVE conference, it may be the world's first applied string and brain theory paper. Dr. Eric Davis published one describing how to build a warp drive for brain theory. And less than 3 months later, some University of Hawaii researchers published one that might let you communicate backwards in time. You know, and these are journal-published, peer-reviewed papers. So, you know, it's, you know, it's starting. The future is kind of starting to show up.
Amazing. Absolutely.
A little bit late. But
yeah. Well, how great would it be to call yourself and say, don't date that chick? Okay. Well, anyway, on a serious note. Rich, thank you so much for the call.
I thank you, sir.
Oh, fantastic. Right. Tim, you know, it's just so amazing. All this stuff is just captivating. I mean, I'm really enjoying this, and I appreciate so much of your time. Let's go to Keith in Michigan. Welcome to the show, Keith.
In Michigan.
Yes.
Frank and Tim, I'd like to comment on something, and I'd like to ask a question. Well, I'll ask a question first. I've been studying scientific stuff since about the last 47 years. HARP, Philadelphia Experiment, flying saucers, anything I can get my hands on. And what I was wondering, this anti-gravity device that you're working on, I've been studying a lot on solar energy. Would it be possible to power one of these units by solar power?
I guess eventually it might be possible. That's kind of solving two challenges at once, though. And so, you know, my focus has really been on trying to understand, you know, and trying to find the ways that might happen, you know, as kind of a first focus with being able to harness it a little bit better, you know, like by solar power or something, as kind of a secondary focus.
I see. Okay. The comment is, I met a man here approximately 5 years ago, and we got talking about a lot of scientific things, and he was telling me about that the Earth is about to go through a belt called the proton belt. Now, I had never heard of this, and he gave me some literature on it, and I started studying up, but I haven't been able to find very much. And he said, what is going to happen when we get into this? Very likely it will have a devastating effect on anything that is electrical or electronics. Now, I've often wondered if there wasn't a super electricity where they use protons rather than electrons. And I'll just wonder what your comment is on this, if you heard anything about this.
All right, I'll tell you what, Keith, thank you for that, and we'll let you listen when we come back. And, of course, Tim, we'll let you respond when we come back. Folks, stay with us. Another quick break, and then, of course, more Frankly Speaking Radio with our guest today, Tim Ventura. His website, AmericanAntiGravity.com, and our phone number, 800-313-9443.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
You're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. Our special guest this evening, Tim Ventura, AmericanAntiGravity.com. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. Would you like to respond to Keith's question?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have a good response. I guess it's kind of a two-part. There might be two parts to it. One thought that I had was I've talked to Tom Bearden a few times, and you know, he's given me some really great advice about directions to go in. And one of those was a fellow, I cannot remember his name, and I'm kicking myself for it, but I interviewed a fellow who, he lives in Denver, and I managed to get him to do an interview. He'd never gone on before since. He'd never done anything like that before. And he described building a capacitor where when he tested it, he disappeared and reappeared later. And this would go to time travel also. And he said when he was testing it, this was only a volt or two. I mean, extremely low energy. But basically, he reappeared like almost like the ring of a bell, like a hysteresis effect, where he was sitting in his kitchen table with his multimeter testing this device, and he disappeared, and the clock went from 10 to 2 to 11 to 1 to 12:30, you know, and then it eventually kind of normalized back in on noon. And he said while he was gone, for each time this happened, it happened, you know, he was gone for 15, 20 seconds in pitch black. So suspended in the void or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was the scariest experience of his life.
Wow.
And his wife corroborated this. She said when this happened, he disappeared each time like the Star Trek transporter beaming him out.
Wow.
And the thing that got me about it was, for me, it was his voice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what the retelling of that story, you could hear the fear in his voice.
His
throat was literally quivering as he recounted this horrifying experience. But, you know, I'd asked him if he'd ever tried to recreate it, and he said he had no idea why it happened. There was no reason for it to have happened. And he had wondered if it wasn't just some patches of space might be more likely to let things like this or maybe Hutchison or other things happen. You know, that who knows, maybe a star had gone nova, you know, a billion years ago, and we're just drifting through that patch of space right now.
Wow.
So maybe the proton belt is like that. I mean, there's no real evidence for or against it, I guess. But, you know.
That's captivating.
I don't know. I mean, when you get into stuff like that, it's things that are so much faster than we are that it's...
Yeah, it's always hard to gauge. You know, when you look at, and I say this all the time, Tim, that in order for this show to go off without a hitch, technologically speaking, you know, the stars have to line up. And that's the truth. I'm in Arkansas. The network's in Texas. You're out west. You know, it's just amazing, honestly, that anything works these days. But when you look at stuff like that, you're right. Who knows all the different factors that have to line up exactly perfectly in order for anything to happen. So it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. I hope that's a workable answer.
Oh, it's a great answer, I think. It's captivating. I had no idea. I did speak with a guy once who claimed that he invented time machines. And I told him, I said, hey, why don't you send me one and we'll do an interview. And he said, I don't have time to get one to you. And I said, you make time machines.
Yeah, you make time.
Go back to last week, start working on it, and then you know, send it to me. It'll be fine.
But that's a great answer, though. I just don't have time to show you my time machine.
Yeah. Yeah, it you know, detracts a bit from his credibility, of course.
Well, you know, I saw an indie show on time travel, and it was a fictitious device, but it let them travel backwards in time. But for every minute they traveled, they had to spend a minute, like they would climb into this box, and if they wanted to go backwards in time, they had to spend 8 hours inside the box, right? So it was like, and the whole point of the movie was that the scheduling of this thing was such a nightmare that it made it not worthwhile to even try.
Wow. It's very interesting when you start looking at these things, because again, and just like, you know, and you and I discussed this about sort of artificial intelligence and sort of the caveat that's thrown out there in science fiction, same thing applies in time travel about changing things and what are the ramifications. And then there's the option of what if you could go back, but you couldn't change anything, you know, my producer was just saying, what if you could save Kennedy from being assassinated? And I said, yeah, you let him know, and then, you know, maybe he dies in a car accident right around the corner instead of getting shot there in Dealey. You know, who knows? You know, some things might just be destined to happen, and I think that that's probably the case. But, you know, it's an untapped area so far as we know. But you know, suffice it to say, I think it's fairly accurate that these things are being worked on in a number of different arenas, and that to me has always sort of generated the most controversy, is exploring some of those things. But that's neither here nor there. But, you know, you mentioned about quantum computers, and obviously that leads us into quantum physics, quantum mechanics. Does anybody really understand that, or is that sort of just like, you know, scientists going, I wonder what will happen if we do this?
Well, I think that the traditional quantum explanations for things, right, the textbook ones, are, to some degree, kind of smoke and mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, I mean, when you get down to it, relativity theory, when you get down to that level, has its own brand of smoke and mirrors, and that's why a lot of people don't believe in that either.
Yeah.
But, you know, string theory and brain theory, as they're developing, are starting to lend a little bit more support to why these things might happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, now they're not rock solid either, but, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I guess there's only so much you can do with a theory, though.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Folks, stay with us. We're back in 3 minutes with more from our special guest this evening, the dazzlingly brilliant Tim Ventura, AmericanAntiGravity.com. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Tim Ventura, our special guest this evening. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks.
My producer is hitting me up during every commercial break to ask you questions, and you know, it's some of his theories are very interesting. But anyway, I digress. We were talking about just quantum mechanics, quantum physics, things like that. Obviously, it's all captivating stuff. One of the things that I think is truly remarkable is when you start looking at some of the military applications for some of this stuff. And when I say remarkable, I mean terrifying. So, I mean, when you're looking at these things, obviously the utility of in terms of weaponry is always there, and they're always looking for these sorts of things. And that's certainly one of the things that I've talked about with Joseph Farrell on the program before, and I wanted to pick your brain about it because you have several things on your website talking about electromagnetics as far as a pulse weapon. Now, that's interesting as well on a number of different levels. But then, of course, then you've got like levitation, electromagnetic levitation and whatnot, which would be, I guess, probably a beneficial aspect of it. But, you know, when we look at August of 2003, There was a lot of talk about sort of, you know, Iraq and what were they going to do, and, you know, are we going to go in, and how's it going to go? And then, you know, I guess in August, I guess we were there. Anyway, maybe it was 2002. There was the big blackout, of course, that took place in the northeast United States, parts of Canada as well. I think officially they blamed it on a bird that landed on a power line in Ohio. Now, obviously, that just rings false to me. I'm sure it does to a lot of people as well. Because just prior to us going into Iraq, even, which would have been, what, March of 2003? So, it was a couple months after the fact. There were all those stories speculating what kind of weaponry they were going to use when they went into Iraq. And one of those was an electromagnetic pulse weapon. And they said, provided that nobody's on life support in a hospital, this would be a very effective sort of non-lethal weapon to cripple a nation and facilitate a low casualty sort of invasion.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, typically those work better in high-tech areas, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
you know, it won't do anything unless there's something to shut down. You know,
yeah.
I mean, EMP is basically like a giant off switch. And
yeah.
There's, So here in Seattle, well, I mean, we had a week-long blackout because of the snow earlier this year, and it was devastating. You know, it was uncanny. It was like being in the middle of the woods at night because you couldn't see anything.
Mm.
But, you know, in Iraq, because the country is in such bad shape, I don't know. I know that a lot of those technologies require a lot of power storage and delivery, and with rail guns, that's been a major problem with those.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that the Navy is having better luck because they have giant, you know, turbo diesel generators and in some cases nuclear generators to power stuff like that. But
mm-hmm.
But for something like a tank, it just takes more than the tank can deliver, you know, as a single pulse.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's the storage technology in that case.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's also the mentality too. I mean, you know, just like the scientific community has its limitations about what they're willing to accept and how fast.
Mm-hmm.
The military guys they grew up with guns and that they're used to that and they know the strengths, but more importantly, they know the limitations.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think there's a worry there.
Yeah, that's true. Never can tell with these things. But, you know, you're always hearing stories, at least, you know, I've looked into it, of some sort of bizarre weapon being found in Iraq or some bizarre sort of effect. And when you look at the security contractors, which are in essence mercenaries, you know, they're not bound by international laws of warfare that they would have to adhere to. So they can go out there and really use experimental weaponry and experimental ammunition without really any sort of fallout, I guess, internationally.
It's a good point. I mean, I guess on the flip side of it, though, I've read this in a few places. I read in the book about World War I once when the person who was writing it said it's kind of a rule of thumb that when you have two sides in a war, if they're equally matched, equally armed, have similar numbers, that's the worst possible situation. Right, the Civil War would be a perfect example.
Yeah.
Because when you have that overwhelming advantage, that actually saves casualties because then the other side just loses and surrenders.
Yes. Well said.
In World War I, you know, it led to trench warfare, which is, you know, because they couldn't, you know, both sides had tear gas and machine guns. Neither really knew how to use them. And, you know, they ended up totally stalemated.
Oh, yeah, it's a mess. Absolute mess. I wanted to ask you about this. You had something on your website about this with a disclaimer of sorts. The TR-3B, government UFO, would that be similar to the aircraft that you saw?
You know, it might be. The descriptions that I've heard make it seem a little smaller.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the idea there that's interesting is the description of how it works is remarkably similar. And this was a description in 1991 or 2 that came out, might have been in the 80s. A fellow named Edgar Fouché claimed that he had worked with or on one of these things, and that's how he knew how it worked. He had talked about high-pressure liquid mercury with some materials doping, and I think one of those might have been thorium. And his description was uncanny in comparison to this Nazi Bell device,
wow.
Except that the Nazi Bell wasn't even known about until Igor Witkowski found out about it in, I think, 2001.
Hmm.
So that might have been, who knows, maybe that we did end up with this Nazi bell and reverse engineered it. Although I've also heard that this TR-3B, supposedly, if it even exists, because I've never seen any evidence for it, it came out of nuclear research from the 60s with cooling reactors. Mm. And they were using liquid metal, like liquid sodium, and they probably tried mercury at one point. And if they'd found an anti-gravity effect, it might have come out of that. So
that is amazing. Well, let me ask you this. As far as anti-gravity in particular goes, is there one country that might be perhaps further along, a little bit more cooperation perhaps with, you know, their government or something like that? Is there one country that maybe is ahead of us in this field?
I don't know. I mean, you know, different countries have strengths, you know, in
yeah.
different areas. But, you know, I mean, America builds things. America is really good. I mean, you know, the American inventor is above and beyond the best in the world. Mm-hmm. We invent more, we invent better.
Take,
you know,
that, world.
Like me. So, you know, we're a frontier nation still, and that's, you know, we figure things out, and I think that in gravity that's, you know, also going to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be an amazing future, that's for sure. I wanted to ask you about this, too. We briefly discussed this together when we talked earlier today about robotics and about sort of the future of machinery, and you were mentioning about, I guess you could say, exponential growth.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of that is Ray Kurzweil. That's really big idea stuff. That might be another show sometime.
Oh, okay.
I'd be more than happy to describe kind of what I know.
Sure.
I guess the short version is this is something, because I've worked in the IT industry for quite a while, that's starting to make waves there. The idea that Moore's Law is a doubling of computational density in chips every 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray Kurzweil, the fellow behind Kurzweil keyboards and voice synthesizers and things like that, he started studying this a while back, and he backplotted tube computers and even the abacus on this Moore's Law chart.
Mm.
And he found, see, that the belief had been that Moore's Law was a result of the photolithography process.
Okay.
Basically, they kind of project a photo onto acid, and it eats away the chip, right? And what's left is the processor. And they had thought that Moore's Law was a result of that optical process, but he demonstrated by backplotting these that they also fit on the other end of it, and so something else was driving Moore's Law. And in his case, he at least felt that evolution was driving the birth of machine intelligence, that it might be something like literally the next form of intelligence to show up here on Earth. Biology couldn't do it fast enough, and so biology created us to create the machines. That's at least one interpretation. But
wow.
In any case, whatever the driving force there is, the computational density for a $1,000 desktop computer, if I remember right, in 2025 through 2035 is the same as human mind. And by 10 years after that, because it's an exponential curve, it surpasses the sum total of all human minds on the planet. And this leads to some things, like one of them is called the singularity, and it's a point past which you can't make reasonable predictions about the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like kind of ties in with that old idea of the first intelligent computer you build is the last one you'll ever have to build.
Yeah.
You know?
Because
so,
then they'll rebel and overthrow humanity, as science fiction would tell us.
Yeah. I mean, and so it does kind of get strange from there. But they're talking about this technological singularity being, okay, machines are intelligent enough that we can't make predictions from here.
Mm.
But it's intrigued me in terms of seeing machines, I don't know, you know, the idea of machines being our children in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really stunning when you think about it. And it would be, you know, obviously there's ethical considerations to be made, because when you start thinking about human beings, I would say that us, you know, Americans perhaps, but certainly most people in the world, we're inherently lazy, Tim. And I think that when you look at, You know, people aren't growing their own food. They're going to the supermarket. People aren't going to restaurants. They're going to fast food places. You know, people, they're not paying with cash because it takes too long. I mean, we've all seen the commercials where they've got, you know, the credit card and the one guy who uses cash, everybody's like, oh, you're holding up the line. You're disrupting the flow, you know, things like that. And every single innovation that we see applied in the marketplace, that I've seen anyway, is based on either security, convenience, or safety. We do have those things in mind. So the way I would foresee it, for the most part, is people would look at robotics and something like this, and they'd say, oh, this is great. Now I have a nanny. I used to just plop my kids in front of the TV, but now I have my robot nanny to do it. And then now, oh, well, I don't need to go and get a girlfriend because I've got a hot robot chick. Or now I don't need to learn how to cook or learn how to grow food or learn how to do anything for myself because I've got my robot helpers, in essence creating almost a slave race. And you know, of course, that's where the science fiction always kicks in and says, well, now this, you know, the slaves are going to rebel or revolt or something. But I just think that, you know, the idea perhaps of going down this road, it can go either. And again, maybe I'm just looking at extremes, but, you know, really, really good or really, really bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, it raises a lot of questions.
Sure does.
You know, and the other part is we've never had another species. I mean, I guess a lot of people would use the Bible as an example of mm-hmm. another intelligence, mm-hmm. You know, superior intelligence, but just a different intelligence telling us, you know, giving us advice on ourselves. But mm-hmm. other than books like that, we don't have any other species giving us feedback, and it might be interesting to see what the machines would say, too.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it might be just as scary if they end up being more humane than we are. Well, I mean, what if they end up looking at us and saying, you know, you really don't treat each other that well.
Yeah.
You know, we might have some really hard, really hard look in the mirror, I guess.
That's an excellent point, and that would certainly be a better case scenario than the one I just came up with, is this idea that we could learn something from our creations. How they, like you said, they could be more humane, more human than we are, in essence, more cognizant perhaps about the realities of existence, whereas we would just seek to perhaps dominate and take advantage of those things, whereas they perhaps would say, you know, hey, look at what you've got, appreciate it. You know, you are here on a limited basis. We're here until our parts wear out, you know. Take advantage of what you got.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, and one of the things that Kurzweil never addressed in his book, and I think it was kind of a dodge, but he never did address the religious implications of this. And I think that that's, I mean, you know, far be it for me to make presumptuous, you know, statements mm-hmm. like that. But I think that it's an incredibly rich ground for people of faith to begin questioning, you know, where does faith end? Does faith apply to these machines? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, do they worship God? And if they ask to worship God, how does religion interpret that? You know,
so, that's intense.
Yeah, I you know, it's really big question stuff, and you know, it's stuff that we always figure is way out in front of us. We'll never have to deal with it. But mm-hmm. if he's right, this will happen sooner than we probably like.
In our lifetimes, yeah. Wow. Boy, that's heavy stuff. Obviously, all of this stuff is just incredibly interesting to me. How can people help you, Tim, with what you're doing? I mean, obviously, you know, for example, probably purchasing the Hutchison DVD would be a good start.
Yeah, and those are computer DVDs. I should mention that I'm okay. working on some actual player DVDs, but mm-hmm. but those only play in a computer. Your DVD player probably wouldn't know what to do with them. They're data discs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a DVD drive in your computer, they should work fine. And it's Windows Media Footage.
Okay.
So that, you know, that's definitely one way. Or mm-hmm. or just, you know, visiting the website or tell a friend about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not just, I write a lot of the stuff on it, but what I try and do is just publish anything and everything that kind of, you know, fits and helps kind of move that technology forward. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's definitely a group effort.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the things that I've seen certainly as well is a greater interest. And, you know, we've talked about this on the program before, like the X Prize, I think that's a Pentagon, or is it a DARPA? Contest where people would create their different innovations and whatnot. We all saw the spacecraft, aircraft. I don't know what you'd call it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the the DARPA prize, and then, well, the X Prize also. They both have prizes.
Oh, two separate ones. Okay.
Yeah, well, I think if I remember right, DARPA has SBIRs, which are small business loans that they're actually aren't that difficult to get. But I think they also have a prize for specific items that they might need, right? Like a backpack for GIs that can carry a water bottle in a different way or something like that. And I think that they have these benchmark prize levels for people who come up with these things.
Wow.
The X Prize is the space one, where it was 100 kilometers, which is about 60 miles in the air.
Wow.
Which is pretty high, but yeah. I think the space shuttle is around 200 miles. So, 60 versus 200, they're not. I don't know. It's been argued whether or not they're in space yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very interesting. But it's good to see, these businesses come out and to see some funding being applied in a way that's beneficial, really, for all of us. And that's, I think that's what you do. I mean, you document these things, and you do just an incredible job. Folks, stay with us. We're back to wrap up the big show in 3 minutes with our guest, Tim Ventura. Check out the website as well, AmericanAntiGravity.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad you've been listening. It's been a captivating and incredible 4 hours, courtesy solely because of our guest, Tim Ventura from American Anti-Gravity. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks.
Boy, you've just been amazing. You absolutely have. I hope I've been, you know, with my idiot questions, I hope it's been okay for you and not, you know, like a, I don't know, college professor being brought in to teach daycare or something like that. So.
Oh, you know, I feel guilty like I've been tripping over my tongue. So I just
really?
I haven't
picked up on that at all.
Oh, okay.
No, you've been fantastic.
I've managed to pull it off then.
Hey, yes, you've fooled us all. No, it's just amazing stuff. Give me an idea of sort of where we're going to be in 10 years. What's going to be the big innovation? I mean, obviously, when you think back, I mean, you know, the Wright brothers, and what'd they fly in 1903? So we've only had flight, you know, 100 years or so. It's really amazing when you think about how much has been achieved. And then, of course, to even speculate, I mean, obviously, the science fiction writers in the 50s, they had us all with flying cars at this point, and you know, we all had like the Jetsons houses and the sky and things like that. Where do you foresee us insofar as to say that you've taken hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people and areas of research and you've explored them all? And I think that you are just more than qualified to speculate on the future from right now.
Well, I guess I could try and squeeze in a couple of thoughts.
Okay.
The first one being it's not so much how long as how much, because
okay.
A lot of this stuff, unfortunately, you know, it's all funding dependent, and mm-hmm. like the aerospace stuff, because they're wrapped up, not just with the RAC, but, you know, they're really invested in IT technology and information, you know, computers and stuff like that, and that pulls away from the gravity modification and stuff, so... Mm-hmm. In a sense, a lot more could be done, you know, right now today, but the funders just aren't there for it. Mm-hmm. You know, in the same way American Anti-Gravity, you know, with more funding could cover more stuff, but mm-hmm. we just, unfortunately, you know, the funding isn't really out there. But, you know, that being said, you know, they say that we always underestimate change in the long term, but overestimate it in the short term. You know, so, and it certainly, you know, if you look at the 20th century, mm. you know, from 1910 to 1920, not a heck of a lot changed. But from 1910 to 1950, you know, then you're talking about some serious changes. Mm. I mean, for what it's worth, I'm doing the interview tonight on my cell phone, and it's still kind of a trip for me. I used to work for AT&T Wireless, having worked in the wireless telecom field, I didn't get a cell phone until 98, and I remember when I got that, I thought, wow, how weird is it to be able to call my mom while I'm driving?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's less than 10 years after that, and I'm doing a radio interview on it because it has better sound quality than the internet phone that I use at home. So
that is amazing.
You know, it's these little things that we don't notice that mm-hmm. just kind of pile up, you know, you know, it's like the artificial heart, which I think first came out in the 60s, and it didn't last very long. It was junk, you know, and they continue to make progress on it, and it's still junk. But, you know, you give it another 10 years, maybe they'll have one that works, and 10 years after that, mm-hmm. maybe it'll be like the artificial knee.
Mm-hmm.
I know somebody who's getting hip replacement now. He's getting a titanium hip, and he said that the hips they were putting on people, I think it was 10 some years ago, they had a 15-year life expectancy on those, and you might have to go back in, and they'd have to put a new one on, which is painful and, you know, dangerous operation.
Mm-hmm.
And the one he's getting now will outlive him by 20 years.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Well, Tim Ventura, you've been a pleasure to have with us here tonight. I really have learned a lot, and I thank you so much for that. Folks, you can go to the website there, AmericanAntiGravity.com. Support Tim Ventura. Support the hard work of the unsung heroes of the future, and we appreciate you all so much. Tim, God bless, sir. Folks, we'll see you in about 20 hours.